you, ladies. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3, and two verses for our text tonight. Proverbs, chapter 3, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Great verses. Verses 5 and 6, okay? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's stand together, please, in honor of the Word of God. And then after we read and pray, we'll have a special jump into our final message in preparation for the conference this next Sunday. Please join me on verse number 6. Well, let's just read both of them together. They're not that long. So we're in Proverbs 3. We're at 5 and 6. Let's read them together. Ready? And read. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful verses in your book. And I pray that you'll help us. Lord, I pray that you'll bring them to life tonight in the light of what we need to be thinking about the days ahead. These are not just verses that apply in one area of our life, but Lord, they apply daily, almost daily, in decisions that must be made. So God, help us tonight. Help me. May the Word of God be our portion, our strength. And Lord, speak to our hearts. We'll praise you ahead of time for it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Father's house today, lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father says. Children, hear the Father sadly say,
my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay
about having sound. Amen. I'm excited about having some sound. Amen. I'm excited. Here we go. I've been around Brother Caleb. I'm excited, excited, excited. Amen. And five families lined up this week to have 3-week Bible study in their homes. on the subject of salvation and assurance and baptism. So we're excited about that. And I believe this thing has great potential, and looking forward to it, seeing how it develops in the next several weeks. That's good. And I appreciate you folks. Five, is that right? Five? Was there one lined up yesterday, too, or that counted the five? That was number five. That was five. Great. So that's wonderful. Okay. Let me speak to you tonight on the subject, when it's time to make a decision. When it's time to make a decision. I'm going to be preaching it from the perspective of decisions that deal around missions conference, but these truths apply anytime you and I are faced with making a decision. And it's some tremendous truths here, very familiar verses. Let's pray and ask God's blessing when it's time to make a decision. Now, my Lord, I pray that you'll please grant us liberty in the service tonight and clarity of thought. Give us, Lord, a hunger and an attentiveness, Lord, for your book. And I believe that you'll meet with us if we're hungry for it, and ask you, Lord, to bless the message and help us as it's time to make decisions. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Is this thing cutting out? Is it all right? It's not cutting out. Okay, very good. Now, these verses are two of the most familiar of all the verses in the Proverbs. The instruction is simple, yet life-changing. And the verses actually outline themselves, four simple steps to follow when you are making a decision. Number one, trust God completely. Number two, don't lean on yourself. Number three, acknowledge Him. And number four, God will direct your path. So the verses outline themselves. The truths are all there. Now, this simple four-step process applies to all areas of our life. And it applies to any of the decisions that I have to make, any decisions that you have to make, including the decision about how much does God want me to give to missions, all right? Now, I said before, this conference is not just about money. It's about our worldview. It's about our whole perspective when it comes to missionaries and the countries in need for the gospel around the world, and the emphasis, of course, in those people groups that don't have the Bible in their language. They don't have a church to attend, and some of these missionaries going to those people groups. So it's not just about money, but I will say this. That's why these families are coming to Bourbonnais next Sunday, okay? Let's not fool ourselves. They're not coming here just to get a good meal, okay? And they're not coming here because they don't have anything else to do. They're coming here because they need support. They are coming to ask us to help support them and send them to their respective fields. Now, don't forget the two callings we talked about last Sunday night. The call to go, or the call to send. Two callings, going and sending. Look, folks, read it again when you get home in Acts 13. When Paul and Barnabas were sent, they went, okay? They went. They're the goers. The rest of the church sent them. They didn't just say, okay, God bless you, hope all things go well. They were involved in the sending process. And so if I'm not called to go, then I'm called to send. And in 7 days, 1 week from today, the goers are coming to ask the senders to consider them for support. That's why they're coming. Okay? So the goers, the Cantrells, the goers, the good pastors, the goers, the Harrises, the goers, I'll leave somebody out, the Maluchis, the goers, the Hudsons, and the goers, the other family that I'm forgetting right now. I'm sorry, Yetzer, yes sir, thank you, brother. The Yetzers, they're going. Okay? Now, we're not called to go. We're here. So we're called to send, and that's what I hope we can do. I received a letter this week from Brother Jim Mardis. Brother Mardis and his family have been over in China for a number of years now. And Brother Mardis, he kind of alluded to this in his last letter. And in this letter, he just said, folks, he said, we're coming home. He said, it's just what I have to do. And he said, no, he's not in any kind of disqualification or anything. He said, God has closed the door here for us to continue to serve in China. And he said, there's been people saved. There's been people baptized. He said, unfortunately, he said, I've tried to establish a church. But you could tell he's going back to Michigan and going to get a job and going to work. And he's not opposed to going back into missionary service. And he said he's open to that if God wants him to do that. But he's not sure right now what God will do for him. Jim Martis is a good man. And it was not mine or yours to judge if he was a success or a failure, brother. He went there. And I'm going to tell you something. Serving in China is one of the most pressure under all that scrutiny. That is difficult. Difficult. The scrutiny that they've served under over these years. And it's wearing. It's wearing. Did you hear me? It's wearing. Where's you at? So they're coming home. Now, so that leaves us, we got a hole to fill there, and that'll help us to support one of these families. But I'm hoping and praying that for enough of an increase in our giving, our faith promise giving, to take on the families coming to be with us. I'm hoping and praying for that. I'm asking God for it. Whether God gives us that or not, that's up to God. You know, I sat down, I mentioned this, I believe, Wednesday night. I sat down and went through the list of men in our church, and we just went through the membership list. I looked at the list, and I just noted the ones who need work, the men who are out of work right now. And then I went back through the list, and I noted the men who are, maybe they still have a job, but it's less than stable. It's less than stable. And it's a growing list. It alarmed me a little bit. I thought, whoa, this thing is not small. And it's not just the young men. There are married men with small children who are out of work right now and looking for work, and some laid off and waiting to be called back, and some waiting for construction and so forth and so on. So I'm aware of what's happening, folks. I guess I'm trying to be on top of it. And so I'm praying and asking God to give us enough of an increase to take on the families that are coming. There's no way on earth I can allow myself to worry or fret. Can't do that. Can't allow myself to worry or fret. Lester Roloff said worry was a form of infidelity. That's what he said. Worry is a form of infidelity. So I can't allow myself to worry or fret. I'm not going to do that. God has a will for our church. He has a will that He wants us to follow. He has a will which involves the families of this church. And so I'm praying and asking for God's will to be done. This is not a time for pressure. This is a time for prayer. It's not a time for pressure. It's a time for prayer. This is a time of decision making. But folks, it is not a time for angst. It's not a time for anxiety. I want you to enjoy the conference. I want you to enjoy the missionaries. I want you to enjoy Brother Vineyard. Listen, Brother Finn called me Saturday afternoon. He was to talk about Ben and Ashley's situation a little bit. And, you think my wife and I are concerned with his daughter over there. I feel for him terribly. But anyway, he called me and said, well, preacher's looking forward to coming up there. And I said, yeah, I know. He's called me almost every day this week. And he said, Brother Angel, he's not in good health. He'll never say that, but he's not in good health. And I know that. And so, you know, don't take it for granted, folks. That's an old warrior of the faith coming to be with us one more time. And we don't take that for granted, man. I'm glad God's given him life and he's here and able to come. And I love it. I love the fact that he's coming. I love the displays. I love the presentations. I don't want you to be so grieved with the money part of it that you miss all the blessing. And I fear that that's what happens sometimes. We get so tight about the money part. That's all we think about. And we don't enjoy the conference. Look, God gave us a simple process in verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3 to go through when we've got to make a decision. It's a simple process. And worry and just getting all worked up about it is not a part of the process. Not a part. Enjoy your life for God. Okay? Enjoy the missions conference, all right? And I know, what are we going to do? We're going to bite our fingernails off, and we got a missions conference, and you know what? We're going to find the mind of God. We're going to enjoy the opportunities God has given us. We're going to pray and seek the Lord's will. And if we just obey God, let me take you through the list. Can I do that? Let me take you through the list tonight. What to do when you make a decision? Look at it. It's outlined in the Bible. Number one, trust God completely. Trust God completely. He said in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, what does this mean? Trust God completely. By this, we are yielding to God. We're yielding to God. We understand He wants us to do something in this area of missions. We understand that we're going to have to make a decision. And God is not going to put a yoke of iron on our necks. Folks, He is not a God to fear in the aspect of being afraid. He's a God to fear in the aspect of reverence. He's a God to fear in the aspect of respect and awe. But He is not a God to fear as far as being afraid. God is loving. He is compassionate. He is caring. He is not ugly. He is kind. He is merciful. He is for us. He's not against us. Man alive, He devised in His great wisdom a plan of salvation and redemption to bring us back to Himself so that we could fellowship with Him and someday go live with Him forever. And if He gave His Son Jesus to save us from our sin and so that we could go live with Him forever in the place called heaven, surely God is not, He didn't save us and redeem us to make us miserable and unhappy and, no, it's not our, no, 10,000 times no. You can trust Him completely. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Many times we make finding God's mind, we make finding God's will on a certain matter more difficult than it needs to be. I think I've been there in my years of in the ministry. I think there have been times when I've made decisions more difficult than they need to be. And part of the problem is I just didn't start off by trusting God completely. God's not a prankster, although I love it when he sent so much snow and ice to Washington, D.C. when Al Gore was there talking about global warming. Amen. I love that. Now, didn't he? Kind of a trickster in that way. Amen. That's wonderful. A prankster. But anyway, he's not a prankster with us when it comes to His will. He does not make His will a game of hide and seek. It's not a now you see me, now you don't, catch me if you can, ha ha, what can I keep from you? That's not the way God treats His children. How does God treat His children? Well, let's see. Jesus said, if you know how to give, if your son asks for a piece of bread and you know how to give it to him, you give him a piece of bread instead of a rock. Your son asks for a piece of fish and you give him a piece of fish instead of a snake. If you know how to do that, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give to them that ask Him good things? That's how our God is. So you got to trust God completely. We need to trust Him for the leadership to make a decision. You know, I can get bogged down about, we have tickets to fly to Madagascar on the 27th of this month. And the ambassador now is going to have this meeting. And, you know, I've just decided I can get all worked up about it. I can get all worked up about the money that we've already lost, at, you know, canceling the tickets because of what happened last fall. And if we have to cancel, but you know, I'm not going to live like that. I can't live like that. I got a wife. I got children. I got to be a father to. I got grandkids. I don't need to live my life. I don't have time for that. So what do? You trust Him completely. Trust Him. It'll all work out. If God wants us to go, we'll go. We may not get back, but we'll go. Amen. If I don't get back, will one of you men walk at me down the aisle? Amen. Give her away. Amen. Why? I'm just teasing, folks. All right. I'm good grief, man. I'm just teasing. Okay. Yeah. A little bit. You say, well, surely she'll hold the wedding. Yeah, right. I don't think so. No. I'm going to trust God on the matter. If we go, if God wants us to go, we'll go. If God doesn't want us to go, we won't go. And you know what? It'll be good and right and best no matter what choice it is. So I'm going to trust Him. You know what this is? This is jumping off the kitchen counter into Daddy's arms. Remember that? I know some of you have never lived. Oh, no, unsafe. You probably have a helmet for your kids. Never mind. I'm just going to... Look, if you're going to ride motorcycles like these boys down here, you need a helmet. If you got a bike, just be careful. Oh, my God. Remember jumping off the kitchen counter into Daddy's arms? This is what trusting God is. I put those little kids on the counter. All of them abused them horribly. Put them on the counter and come on, jump, jump, jump. Come on, jump, jump, jump. You know, and I didn't watch them jump and then pull my hands back. Huh? Now, if I don't do that to a child as wicked and carnal as I am, surely God won't do that. So trust Him completely. This is jumping off the counter into Daddy's arms. This is complete trust. God, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to chew my fingernails off. I'm not going to worry myself into an ulcer and be so burdened that I can't get a blessing from the presentation and enjoy from the vineyard. I'm going to just jump into Your arms. I've got to make a decision. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to jump in Your arms. Look, folks, don't fear. Don't fear God. Are you afraid to kneel at the altar and say, God, here I am? Are you afraid to do that? You don't have to be afraid. God is not a God of fear in the aspect of afraid. Reverence, yes. Awe, yes. Respect, yes. But not afraid. Jump into His arms. Trust Him completely. It's a funny thing that we can trust Him completely to save our souls from an eternity in hell. To save us from sin that wrecked and ruined us. And yet we seem to have a hard time jumping into His arms about other decisions. Trust God completely. You know, God has a will for you. God has a will for me. Missions God. Trust Him. He's not ugly, mean, bad, wicked. He's wonderful, pure, lovely, compassionate. So trust God completely. This is not just about missions. This is any decision that you have, the big decision you got to make. But this is applicable tonight to this decision right now, the one that we're facing in the next 8, 10, 12 days. Here we go. Trust God completely. Number two, it outlines itself right there in verse 5. Don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on yourself and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, leaning on yourself is dangerous. Because Proverbs says twice, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's scary, folks. When God plainly says, to us it doesn't seem wrong. If it seemed wrong to us, we wouldn't go that way. But to us it seems right and still wrong. God says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's difficult, it's dangerous for me to trust myself, to lean on myself. It is dangerous for you to lean on yourself. We are so tainted by our sin nature, we can get ourselves into trouble extremely easily. We have to be careful. Now, let me give you a couple of scenarios here. Don't lean on yourself. This may shock you, what I'm about to say. Some would give when they need to dig out. Some would give to missions when they need to dig out. I had a young man, he was honest. He came to see me and he sat down and he said, you know, he said, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, I got debt. And he said, man, I come to these missions conference services and I hear these messages on missions and I just want to give a healthy sum. I want to give a healthy sum to missions, but I have this debt. And Pastor, my heart's being ripped out. Now look, stop. Look. There's no need to have your heart ripped out. There's no need, folks. You can't go back and undo what's done. Okay? Well, if and should I should okay, I know. Hindsight's always 20/20. But you can't go back and undo what's done. You can't undo the past. What was it? Face it. I don't mean publicly. I don't mean get up and confess. Was it poor management? Was it poor this or that? Was it poor handling? I don't know. What's done is done. You can't go back and undo it. But let me say this. Just to ignore it and give a big sum to missions and hope that God takes your debt away? And I'm not talking about manageable debt. There are people in this room that have house payments and mortgages, and you're managing that house payment and you're giving the missions. And I'm not talking about manageable debt. I'm talking about debt that's out of control. And this man was honest. This young man, I know how a young man was honest. And he said, this is what I want to do, but and I could feel it in here. I could see it. Now, you know what I say to anybody like that in that kind of situation tonight? You know what you ought to do? Maybe you ought to be challenged this year to get stable financially. Be challenged. And I mean set yourself a goal and work diligently to reduce completely or almost completely, get your debt into a manageable situation, and do it with the motivation of being able next year or 2 years from now to be able to give and honor and glorify God and be free to give $40 a week or $60 a week after I dig myself out of what I've created. I don't think God expects you or even is pleased with the idea of dumping $50, $60 a week into missions and just ignoring the debt. That's not very, it's pretty quiet in here right now, but that's all right. It's okay. You see, I'm not worried about this. I figure God has a will for our church. We just get plugged into God's will, we'll be okay. I don't think God hopes, I don't think God expects you to give to missions and be worse off at the end of the year than you were at the beginning. Well, amen, Brother Angel, that's not real popular. That won't go over real good in a lot of missions conferences you get. But this is my church and I can preach what God lays on my heart to preach here. Okay? I'm dead serious about that. I'm dead serious about it. Don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on the emotions. You know what? This thing is, and you know, it ought to be emotional. They come in with their presentations and you see the pictures of those people. I'm going to tell you something. It was emotional to me to look at the video clips. And I'm sorry, I'm probably talking about this too much. I need to be quiet about it. But it's just, man, it's just dominated my life. Like those video clips over there in Madagascar, man, it moved me. Massive turnout of people. And they have nothing. They're just pawns of a political system going awry. They need Christ. Man, it just moves my heart. And you see the pictures, and boy, it's so easy to say, you know what? Nothing else matters in this life but where the eternal destiny of these souls. And who gives a rip about my debt? Jesus is coming anyway. Here you go. I don't think that pleases God. Don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on yourself. Now, listen, then you got the flip side of the coin. You got the other side of the coin. Don't lean on yourself. There are others who might want to pile up when they should give. Well, it's an economic time, and we've got to save. We've got to pull in all the ropes, and we've got to cut back. And you're not in financial danger, but the whole momentum of what's going on in our country right now is don't spend, don't give, don't do anything. Ask these high school students who are trying to get sponsorships for our yearbook. And that's the whole mode right now. That's the whole momentum of our country. Who knows where this thing's going to go, folks? I don't. Brother Vineyard told me that this week Barack Obama went to the National Prayer Breakfast, held up a Quran and quoted from it. It didn't take long, did it? I don't think that pleases God. But the whole momentum of this thing right now is pull the ropes in, man. Let me tell you something. You can't lean on yourself. It was Oswald J. Smith. I mean, he was the man who just really God used to just catapult this thing of giving to missions. And he said this, if God wills the evangelization of the world and you refuse to support missions, then you are opposed to the will of God. No one should choose to oppose God. Gracious day. Don't lean on your selfish nature to make an unselfish decision. Don't lean on your stingy nature. All of us are stingy. Don't lean on that to make a generous or liberal decision. Our flesh will make excuses and give 100 reasons why we can't be involved. But listen, I am told by God Almighty when it comes to decision-making time, don't lean on yourself. Do you know what leaning on myself means? It means I'm not trusting Him completely. Huh? Sure, that's what it means. Brother Caleb, come up here a minute. And now, this is going to be a little tough because you. But if this man's got an injured ankle, okay? You see it in the football. If he's got an injured ankle, and he's coming off the field. Now, he's leaning on me for help, but he's also what? Leaning on himself, right? Now, that's not what God wants us to do. God didn't say lean on him partially and then lean on yourself. God said, here we go. God said, I got some brains, amen. Hey, there is a little wisdom behind this gray hair somewhere. But that's what God said to do. That's trusting God completely. Let's get up in his arms. Let's get up in it. Well, I think I need to trust God completely. Do not lean on yourself. Do not lean on yourself to give when you shouldn't give. Do not lean on yourself to give, to not give when you should give. You got to trust Him completely. Don't lean on yourself. Number three, we're talking about how to make a decision, not just in this area, but in any area of life. Number three, in the last two, don't take as long. Number three, acknowledge God in this decision. I'm talking about this mission conference decision. Look at verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways. Okay, here's my path. I'm walking my path. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. It's missions conference time. I got to make a decision here. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. So I need to acknowledge God in this decision. Now, wait a minute. This is more specific than just trusting Him. Trusting Him is the general attitude I should have of believing that God is right, God is good, God is merciful, He's compassionate, and everything He does is good and right and good. And I trust Him. I can trust He will. I can trust His will for my life. And for this decision. But that's the general attitude. Now, wait a minute. Acknowledging Him is noticing with particular regard. So I've got a decision to make. So, now, God, I trust You. I trust You. You're good. You're right. You're holy. You're just. You're compassionate. I don't fear You. And I need to acknowledge with particular regard Your will concerning this decision. Now, let me tell you what acknowledging God is not. To approach a commitment just based on what I did last year. Well, I'll just do what I've done last year and the year before. I'll just do the same thing. That's not acknowledging God. All right? Well, that's missions conference time, and I've been doing this for years, and I'm just going to do the same thing over again. That's not acknowledging God, friend. Acknowledging God is not, well, I'm going to give what I feel I can handle. Or this is what I want to do. That's not acknowledging God. Look at acknowledging God begins with asking Him what He wants in this area of my life. Basing my decision on the principles of His revealed Word, which are these principles. Give out of what I have so bountifully. In the 1930s, during the Great Depression, a Nazarene leader named J.G. Morrison stood up at a large Nazarene convention in the midst of the Great Depression, and he pleaded with those Nazarene people, can't you do just a little bit more? Well, no, man, it's economic crisis, and we're, you know, there we go again, leaning on ourselves. Acknowledging God is, what do you want? This is what you told me in your book, God. I need specific direction here. Is this what you want? God, do you want $5 a week more from me? Do you want some seed money? Tell you what. And this is what I told this young man. I said, I think you ought to take it as a great challenge and goal to dig yourself out of debt. And he talked to me about his bills. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I believe if I work at it, I can be out of debt in 11 months. I said, I think God would bless you for that. But I said, you know what? If you had a little seed money, How big is a seed? You got a dollar a week? You got $2 a week? You got one less trip through Wendy's? One less pop out of the machine? A dollar for a pop? And every day we're feeding dollars into that machine. One less stop for a cup of coffee? Oh, boom. Now you're meddling, amen. Seed money. You know what? With faith the size of a grain of what? You ever seen a mustard seed? Not much of one. You can move mountains with faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. This is seed money. Lord, I'm taking the challenge and the goal to dig myself out of debt, but this is the missions conference, and I want to acknowledge you in this decision. So one less trip through Wendy's, one less pop, two less trips to the soda machine this week. I'm going to have $2 to throw in that plate. You say, Ed, that is nothing. $2? Let's see. I think one time a little boy gave 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. And it's not the size of what you and I can come up with, friend. It's what's in those hands. So don't discount what a boy trying to dig out of debt. Don't discount what that $2 might do. That might bring the favor of God on his life and on this church in such a way that we won't believe what God does. We've got a little God in our mind. Like he's broke, we got to bail him out. And my $2 a week won't get this done. Let me tell you something. It's seed money. It's seed money. It's what is, Lord, this is seed. I want to live this year so that I can grow out of this mess. And I want this to grow and fertilize it and grow and produce. And I want to be able to give to you liberally. And this is seed money in light of that day. I'm talking about acknowledging God in this decision. You see, God, you want to say to the Lord, God, I don't want to put a figure on this paper. Watch me. That is apart from what you want. So leave me. Here's my figure, Lord. Is that what you want? And friend, I don't know what to tell you if you don't. I don't know what to tell you that there ought to be either a sweet peace or a little bit of follow that. You put a figure on a piece of paper and you say, God, I'm going to put a figure on this piece of paper now. I don't want to make a commitment apart from what you want. Is this what you want? And if, see, we're all goofed up in our thinking, like God's going to say. Now you see me, now you don't. Ha ha. You guess. God's not like that. God speaks to his kids. God, is this what you want? Peace. That's great, child. That's right. That's right where you need to be. Thank you, Lord. Okay, God, if that's not it, how about this? No? Okay, how about this? What do you want? I'm talking about acknowledging him with particular regard to this decision. Acknowledge him. It's right there in the book. This is how to make a decision. Trust God completely. Don't lean on yourself. Acknowledge him in this particular decision. Number 4, we're done. Look at the end of verse number 6. And he shall direct thy path. Thank God. Amen. He shall direct thy path. He will come through. He'll answer. God will direct your path. Amen. I don't know what to tell you, friend. He has a will for your life. He has a will for my life. If I follow these steps, he will direct me. If you follow those steps, he will direct you. We don't got to bite our fingernails off. We don't got to live with a knot in our stomach and come next Sunday with this cloud over our heads. I'm supposed to enjoy this, but I got to make a decision. This is how you do it. Trust God completely. Don't lean on yourself. Acknowledge him in every decision, and specifically this decision, and he will direct your path. Look. I'll say it again. God does not need us to be strong. I got to be strong. I got to work through this. Yes, I guess there is a certain element of that I like in a man, but I'm going to tell you, God does not need us to be strong. God needs someone to show Himself strong through. This is what he said. Don't turn. 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. I love it. To and fro. Looking. Throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. He doesn't need us to be strong. He's got all the strength all of us need put together. He's just looking for some person that He can show His strength through. That's what He wants. It's not a matter of me biting my fingernails off. It's a matter of me getting the will of God and the mind of God. I just say, Lord, we'd like to be that people. I desire nothing more than for us to be that people that God can show Himself, put His strength on display. Not so we can strut around and talk about how good we are. We're not good. So that He can put His strength on display. God, we'd like to be that people. You know what Hudson Taylor said, that great missionary to China? He said, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. That's all He's looking for. And he also said this, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. That's what God wants. Are you that weak and feeble? I didn't say worried. Are you that weak and feeble where you just, you know, I need God. Good! He's never been attracted to strength. He's always been attracted to weakness. That's what God's looking for. Now, folks, I want us to have a great time. I mean that. I don't want this thing to be, we can't enjoy this thing. Man alive, God doesn't want His children to live like that. You trust God completely. Don't lean on yourself. Acknowledge Him in this decision, and He will direct our path because He said He would. So don't be afraid. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight.